Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Andy Best. And you're listening to it on the Wind Network. Yes, that's right, Wind Network. Together, we win. Stay tuned.
Yes, yes. Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, this is our third season of the Irene Blog Talk Radio Show. I want to thank you, my friends, for joining me tonight. I am Minister Annie Bell, the host and creator of Irene Blog Talk Radio Show, which is an outreach of Wealth Management Ministries, Incorporated. We are endeavoring to bring talk therapy to survivors of child abuse, sex trafficking, and other traumas, as well as providing the awareness, prevention, and resources to the community so that we can end, abolish, and stop these atrocities. So again, thank you so much for joining me. Tonight, we're going to be talking about being smart and be safe while on the internet, not just for you, the adults, but for our children as well. And tonight we have a very special guest. Her name is Ms. Felicia Ingram, and she is an anti-sex trafficking advocate who has written articles and have really been out here talking to the people and making sure that people understand what this sex trafficking thing is going on and how it's affecting us as individuals, as businesses, and really impacting our vulnerable population. So without further ado, please welcome Ms. Felicia Ingram to the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Annie. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a privilege to talk to you. Thank you, audience, and to bring information to them that's really detrimental to their to themselves as parents and also to children. I really appreciate you allowing me to be an administrator for the Irene Facebook page. I really like to post information to our youth, our people that post to the website, and also the people that, you know, may be new or people that, that want to be kept abreast of what's going on with, you know, child trafficking or other types of abuses that are going on with children.
And what I appreciate is that you continue to post, because, again, it's hard. It's hard being an advocate for such a nefarious crime. And having to post those things every day. And we keep it pretty raw on our Facebook page. We keep it, we try not to filter because it's already filtered too much. We also try not to sugarcoat because sex trafficking is bitter. It is ugly. It is, again, nefarious is the one word that continues to come to mind because it's sinister. It is cruel. And so is child abuse. I mean, if you know about the effects that child abuse has, especially, you know, when you're looking at how it impacts the brain of the child. So it is very imperative that we talk about it, and you have just been a great addition to our team. So I appreciate that. Before we get started, you haven't been on the show for a minute because you were on here last year, I believe. And so if you could share just a little bit about yourself before we get into the nitty gritty.
All right. Well, I'll just talk about, I learned about sex trafficking probably back in 2009. And I first heard about it, I'm like, I really couldn't figure out what it is that I could do, knowing that I work full time and everything. But, you know, time has passed and, you know, everything happens at the right time. And I just, you know, have been educating myself a lot more about what has happened. And I really feel that educating the population is the most important thing. So I try and do research, and I just, you know, get out there and try and talk to other people and find out what's going on and just try to get information. So that's mainly my goal in this process, is just to keep educating people. So when I do research and I get a chance to know more, I try and share it. It's just, I guess, as you said, such a nefarious crime. And we just need to get more information out to people, especially parents, which is why I was happy to come on to the show today to share what it is, that kind of knowledge that I have. And, you know, as far as the technology, and you want to start with the smartphone and with parents, if they're going to give your – if you're going to give your children a smartphone, you need to be smart in educating yourself and your children. Especially a lot of parents give their kids phones in elementary school. Well, you need to kind of sit down and talk to the child about how to use the phone, who you should be coming in contact with. There's different controls you can put in place so the child doesn't have access certain, I guess, apps. But parents in general need to really do their research. And I just want to say that there's a couple of websites that parents can look into. One is the Family Online Safety Institute.
There's
another organization called Common Sense Media. So we don't have time to go over everything that might be on the site, but there's always, they're always updating information. So it's really important that parents, you know, do their research and find out what it is, and, you know, have that conversation with your child about using the phone. It's not, it's more than just, you know, conversating with friends. And parents don't realize that there are these pop-ups that come up on the phone. You know, there could be nude photos or something that comes up, and parents need to make their children aware, or, again, put controls in place so that kind of thing doesn't happen with their children.
And that's so right. And if you don't mind tomorrow, if you don't mind putting the link up for the Family Online Safety Institute and the Common Sense Media, put it on our Facebook page to make that available and make it easy for our parents to get on there and take a look. And it's so very important, like you said, because the parents, they are the child's first protection. We can't put the ownership on teachers and the internet. We can't put it on them and leave it there. We as parents, we have to take the reins, really. And one of the things that we do here is every night, my children give up all, not just one, not just the phone, or not just the Kindle or whatever, but all of their devices, laptops, everything. They bring it into our room, and they can retrieve it after school the next day. Now, of course, I homeschool, so they're home. There's no need for them to have a cell phone with them while they're homeschooling. I know it's a little bit different for other families whose children actually go to a brick and mortar, But those are the things that you can do. We also am a big proponent. Another idea is to shut off the internet altogether at night. And so that if for some reason, I had a parent during one of our training sessions that said that her daughter would go and look for an old phone that she, you know, that her that she may have stopped using, or you know, something long time ago as you upgrade, and she would hide them in her room so that when her mother came to take a phone, she would still have the phone. So she was a foster care mother, and so the foster daughter would leave the home and stuff like that. So it was really imperative for her to begin to just shut the internet completely down at night. So regardless of whether she was able to hijack a phone or not, or a device or not, she was not able to just, you know, get on. So I want you to share with our audience a little bit about the internet crimes against children.
Sure. There's several different types, and I don't think, again, parents might not be aware of this, but you have things that something that's very widely known that you hear about all the time in the news. All these many people arrested for child pornography, mm-hmm. you know, having it on their computer, and people share, you know, photos of children and, you know, taking pictures of the children. So you have to be very careful of your children sharing photos. Actually, recently, there was a young man that was on YouTube, and he was conversing with young children, and he was getting these young children to share nude photos of him. So they actually caught him, I think, a couple of months ago. And they arrested him, and he was a YouTube sensation. So I don't know if
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if one of the children, you know, reported him, or somehow they found out. This guy was really widely known among the young adults. So
yes.
I guess somewhere along the way they found out that he was asking these young kids to share nude photos of himself.
What's surprising is that these kids, you know, do it. I don't, and maybe because I was abused as a child, so starting at a young age, I was a little bit inhibited about mm-hmm. bearing myself, you know, my private parts. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, why are our children so ready to engage and to, you know, take off their tops and stuff like that. I don't know what that is.
I actually attended, there was a woman that was here in Connecticut at one of the local academies called Green Farm Academy, and she wrote a book about Americans, well, it was more or less about, I guess, young girls, but in the social media, but she talked about this millennium or this culture had a huge wanting to be liked. So if you're, you know, a person that's by yourself a lot, you don't have any friends, and this person befriends you, and they're telling you, if you like me, you'll do this for me. And so this is what happens, and this is how these children or young adults are enticed into doing this. And this is grooming. You know, where the person talks to you for a period of time and then gets you to get comfortable with them. And then they start to become, this is the other thing that parents need to talk about to their kids, there are no secrets. So if the abuser comes to your child and tells you, well, you keep this between you and I. So I don't know, the parents really need to have heart-to-heart conversation with their children about this. And I think there are many cases where kids are left by themselves, so the parents don't know this is going on. So,
and one of the things we also talk about in our training, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that it's we got to replace the secrets with something, because there are surprises that, you know, if you're having a birthday party, you don't want anybody, you know, a surprise birthday party for somebody, you want to keep that on the hush hush. And sometimes we will interchangeably use secret and surprise at the same time. If we just say, okay, you know what, those kind of things are surprises, like, you know, gifts for Christmas and birthdays and stuff like that, and surprise dinners, but secrets are completely different. Secrets make you sick. And if there's anybody who's listening to the show who's been in the rooms before of Narcotics Anonymous or AA, you know what we mean by secrets make you sick. So we got to make sure that we delineate the difference between a surprise and what is a secret, so that the children will understand the difference between the two. Now, it's we're already 15:15, so we're going to have to take a quick break. If you'll just please stay with us, we'll be right back in about 2 minutes. Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
All right. Thank you for sticking around. That was a real quick one, right? My name is Minister Annie Bell, and if you're just joining us, you have joined in to the I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show, where we endeavor to bring talk therapy to those who have survived child abuse and sex trafficking. Tonight, we're actually talking with the anti-trafficking advocate, Ms. Felicia Ingram, and talking about how to keep our children safe in the age of technology. Welcome back to the show, Felicia.
Thank you, Annie.
Welcome. We were talking about this, you know, the delineating between surprise and secrets. That was very on point. So I appreciate that. You know, we talk about, we hear about sexting as well. And, you know, so you want to touch bases on that?
Sure. There's a lot of that that's very popular among the young people as well. You know, sharing photos of themselves, you know, sexually suggestive photos. And there's a huge problem with that, because suppose you have somebody that shares a photo, and then they turn around and they share it in cyberspace. So that's a huge problem. I think that's where you have problems with where people end up, you know, suicidal and all those types of things, because that wasn't what the purpose was. They meant to just share it with one person. They didn't mean for the person to share it with other people. So,
and once it's
huge,
on the net, you can't retrieve it.
Nope, it's there forever.
Ever.
There forever.
And I wanted to make mention one other thing about child pornography. I don't mean to digress, but the pedophiles are infantophiles. Those are those who like to have sex with infants. They are trying to push for legalizing child pornography. Now, don't be surprised, because these same groups of people are trying to legalize adult child sex. But, and they're saying that if they had photos of the child or a child, that there would be less, it would decrease their propensity to want to offend. Mm-hmm. Now, if that is not one of the most backwards thinking, evil, vile, you know, strategy to try to get child pornography legalized, can you imagine the mayhem if child pornography was ever legalized? I shudder to even think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible. I don't know. I mean, that kind of warped thinking. I know, and I think a lot of people use that when they get arrested for, predating against a child, and it, because they always tend to blame the child for it as well.
Yes.
You know, they're saying that the child made them do it.
Yes. One of the predators who received he was an incestuous predator, so he was having sex with his daughter at the age of 3, and he said it's because his daughter was wearing seductive clothes. Okay, 3 years old, she was wearing a skirt or dresses, and he felt that she was trying to seduce him.
Wow.
Warped thinking, the man is obviously sick in the membrane, or the insane in the membrane. I believe that's one of the rappers back in the day. Sexting, also, you can have some sextortion.
Right. Yeah, and that's where the person is, you know, has shared photos with the perpetrator, and the perpetrator gets them to do sexual, you know, could be, again, prostitution or what have you, and they use that as a way to extort, or, you know, to get them to keep doing it, saying, if you don't continue to do what I tell you to do, that I'm going to share it. You know, I'll share it with your friends, I'll share it with your family. So, yeah, so that's also on the rise as well.
And one of the ways that we can, as parents, can help a child is by, you know, just talking to our kids. I mean, it's amazing what talking can do. And so talking to our kids and saying, hey, there is nothing that you could do to make me not love you. There is nothing that you could do to make me so ashamed of you that I will disown you. Always feel free to come and talk to me. Tell me, because I can help you through whatever it is. And I tell my kids, hey, you're smart, but you've only been here 7 years or 12 years on this earth. Your mother has been here almost 50 years. So, you know, there's some wisdom behind there. And we got to have these candid conversations with our children. It's sad. It's sad that we have to talk to our kids about such crimes against them. But that's the only way, one of the only ways that we could actually prevent and to ensure that if there is something going on, that it ends quickly. But a lot of the times, because especially sextortioners, they are preying on them and hoping that the parents have not had that one-on-one relationship conversation, so they can use that fear tactic. Oh, what is your mom going to say, or your dad going to say? You know, well, if you've had that conversation with them, first of all, they may have never sent the nude pictures. And two, they could say, well, you know what? My mom and my dad will protect me from people like you. So we have to empower our children. Now, scary as it is, there are child sex rings out here. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a huge issue as well. You know, once they get a hold of the children, or, you know, it could be, I've heard some time ago that they do it through babies. They have these people who have babies, and they take the babies and they sell them through the child sex rings.
Mm.
So So this is something that, you know, I'm sure that occurs in Europe, and I'm sure it must occur here as well. And what happens is they take multiple children along with multiple adult abusers, and they have them performing these sex, you know, sex acts, and they victimize them. So that, you know, it's really difficult for them to get out of it. And then, of course, the sex screens, it becomes a child pornography. And it's just like a cycle.
Yeah.
So, once again, you know, parents have to be educated and, you know, to watch out for their kids. I just think parents in general just have to get more involved with, you know, educating themselves. Because there's so much out there on the web, on the YouTube. We haven't even gotten into that, but parents just have to be more aware. You can't be so thinking that the child, you know, that the phone or the internet or the computer is just like a babysitter for your children.
Right.
Parents, you must get involved and know what's going on with your kids, especially in the high school age. You know, kids are even more vulnerable in high school. And so you have to sit down. You got to educate yourself. You know, there's plenty of things through the computer. Again, the other two sites that it gave you, Family Online Safety, FBI, Department of Homeland Security. They have all kinds of videos on there to keep yourself abreast of what's going on. Because I tell you, with technology, everything's changing every day. So you really need to educate yourself and to protect your children. Children must know how to protect themselves. There's no reason why a child needs to talk to a stranger. You know, you can find things for your children to do where they're not talking to somebody that, you know, before you know it, the child is lured away. And this happens quite a bit when the child is talking
to somebody
before you know it.
And even on the PS4 and the Xbox. You know, a lot of times they're thinking, parents are thinking, okay, well, they're home here playing the game. But predators are out there in particular games with inside certain age ranges. They will go in there and say, oh, yeah, you know, I love Minecraft or I love Lego movie, you know, game. How old are you? You know, your parents around? And, you know, they'll engage them in these conversations. So, you know, you have to be savvy. The technology is powerful. It's wonderful. But, you know, it can really be used for some crazy things. So another thing that, you know, happens is the sex tourism. Now, not so much here, okay, as far as people coming to United States to have sex with kids, because our laws here are a bit more stringent. But then when we look at the Philippines and the, you know, third world countries where the protection of children is not as vigilant and there's not much accountability, a lot goes on there. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, there. You have to be careful there. I went to a forum, I guess a couple of years ago, there were actually two gentlemen talking about that, how they go overseas undercover. And what's the name of that? It's not Chile. It's another country that begins with a C. That they have legalized prostitution actually there. And so they go there, and that's where they have American men that go to these, what do you call these, resort areas, where they're supposed to be going there for fishing or hunting. But actually what they're doing is they're going there to have sex with these young girls. So they, you know, they're watching and waiting to get them. But, this goes on quite a bit as well.
They can purchase the child for one night, a couple of hours, but some of them might even purchase the child for the duration of their stay and almost have them to be kept or as a sex slave,
for
that
right.
week or 2 weeks or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. And so,
right.
guys, we're talking about parents who are selling their children. These parents who are supposed to be taking care of these babies, but they're selling these mm-hmm. children. I think we even, one of our members posted a video of one of the women, one of the parents getting caught on camera selling their child, their, I think there was a 8-year-old and maybe a 10-year-old, and he was saying, okay, which one can I have sex with? And he said, okay, she said, okay, you can't have sex with her, but you can have sex with the other one. The other one don't know sex yet, but they know, but they do other things, sexual things, but just not full on intercourse. Can you, my jaw just simply dropped because how can you be so cavalier about selling your child for sex? And again, people, if you don't know, not only is it emotionally traumatizing, it is physically damaging to the child. And I'm talking both girls and boys, physically damaging. The girls can, it could rupture their vagina, it could keeping them from ever having, being able to have children. It will, for the boys and girls that have to engage in anal sex, it could tear out their rectum. It is absolutely horrible. We have to take another quick break, and we'll be coming right back. And there's one last thing that we're going to talk about, which is actually child sex trafficking, while we're talking about the internet crimes against children. So everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through soundbites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
Welcome back to I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Minister Annie Bell.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking in there with us as we are talking today on the I Reign Blog Talk Radio Show about internet safety. My name is Minister Annie Bell, and again, thank you so much for staying with us. We have here with us Felicia Ingram, who is talking about what ways we as parents can, what things we can do to keep our children safe. The last thing we were talking about was the internet crimes against children. And so the last bullet point that I did want to hit on is child sex trafficking. Welcome back, Felicia.
Thank you, Annie. Yes, this is by far, this is getting worse and worse. It's really becoming, I think they had said it was number two, but I think it's becoming number one, the number one crime in the country. I mean, it's so silent that people, there's no way that people know this going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but people are becoming more and more aware.
It's becoming the number one crime in the world, not just here in the United States.
Yeah, and but I have to say, it seems like more and more people are aware that this is going on. If you look at, I think recently there was somebody from Uber that rescued a child.
Yes.
That was being trafficked by a man and a woman. So the airline, you know, the woman flight attendant, I saw a girl, a young girl that was in trouble. So I'm so glad that people are educating, you know, different fields of different types of work and everything, that they're really trying to get the word out.
Definitely.
Going on, because we need to be rescuing or helping these young people that, you know, that here they're walking along one day, and before you know it, they're sitting there having, you know, servicing, you know, 10 to 15 men a day. And
yes.
that's not something that anybody looks for. You know, these are innocent young people just minding their own business, and get coerced or trapped in this type of thing. And it's horrible.
And the sad thing is, again, we have other parents who are selling their children. Mm-hmm. We have family members selling their. There's even child sex trafficking rings within family, familial sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely horrendous. We're actually in January, Felicia will be coming back, so we're going to have an entire episode dedicated to that, since January is Sex Trafficking Awareness Month. So please make sure you join us again when we're talking about that. I wanted to mention something I forgot to mention. A new law has passed here in America, in the United States, that those who are have been convicted of sexual crimes against children, their passports will be flagged, and it will say, you know, that they had a charge against them as a child predator. I just want to applaud our government for doing such a thing, so that it will keep them from leaving the United States to go and abuse children in other countries. To me, it's baldy. How are you going to go leave your country, go to another country, and go and abuse their kids? I mean,
I know.
It is that spirit, that is an unholy, evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's filthy spirit. It's the spirit of wickedness that is upon them. Yes.
Right.
And given into foul, given into their own depravity.
Right. Well, I think they were probably thinking that they're going to these underdeveloped countries where people aren't going to see them. They're probably thinking they can sneak right in and right out without being noticed. So
and
I think that's part of that.
Yes. And then come on back home and then go and do. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We're going to name
and,
a couple. Go ahead.
And I think a majority of these predators are married and have children, or even have young daughters themselves. So you wonder what they're thinking of. You know, I guess they're leading these double lives, and I don't know if it's a fixation that they have that they can't control, but I can't even imagine if I knew somebody that I was supposed to have a relationship with, they were doing this kind of thing. I can't imagine someone would be able to hide that. But there's a lot of people that are hiding it. This is out of control.
Yes, it definitely is. And something like 80% of pedophiles are in the age, those who have purchased child sex are between the ages of 35 and 45, married with children.
Wow.
If that is not an ugly statistic, I don't know what is. We're going to move on to discussing some of these apps on phones and devices where predators are targeting and grooming children. Could you give us a list of those?
Sure. Okay.
And all right, to help Tinder. You out. Okay.
Yes, Tinder was one. I think people are trying to use that. I mean, I thought I had heard about this before, but I thought it was something a little different. They use this as kind of a hookup, you know, somebody just to have a good time with. There's no, intimacy or long-term goal here. It's just to meet somebody for, a short period of time. But the biggest problem with this is it's easy for adults and minors to find each other, but there's also a lot of cyberbullying that goes on. You know, kids can target another one. So there's a lot of issues with that app. One of the biggest one that's popular, and I just heard this not too long ago, actually on K-Love. K-Love mentioned that a lot of young adults are moving away from Facebook, and they're spending more time on Instagram and Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Snapchat is something where you send videos and photos, and I think it's supposed to have the same type of effect as Facebook, but the problem is that it's also used for sexting, and it's also a way for a predator to find people as well. There's something called revenge porn, and I guess something called snap porn. So I guess, you know, there's a lot of sinister stuff going on with Snapchat as well. So,
and the
you know,
about Snapchat is that it does not linger. It's snap. It's gone. It's hard to find things like that on your child's phone and devices because it's there 1 minute, and then after whatever time it expires, and then it's gone.
Another one is called, I think I heard about this too, Blender. B-L-E-N-D-R. It's a flirting app that allows people to send messages, photos, videos. I don't know, I guess it's like a competition thing. You can rate the hotness of another user. But the problem is there's another place for sexual predators to contact minors that can meet up with adults, and again, also sexting. I know, I have to wonder with some of these kids, you know, they're probably not thinking anything about, you know, meeting an older person. With a young mind, you're not really thinking that someone's going to be a predator. You're just thinking that, okay, the person's nice to me, and they're talking to me, and I don't have any friends, and they just don't see the ugliness that can come with that. Because you always hear these horror stories where, you know, they meet the person, the person's nice, and, you know, they get them hair done, and they buy them nice things, and then no sooner they groom them, then the person turns evil. And then before you know, they have them, you know, they're selling them or what have you. And then they're using the photos as a way to manipulate them.
Right.
So it's terrible. And I think you mentioned this the other day, Kik. It said it has over 100 million users that, again, allows people to exchange videos, pictures. And I think people send them to video, and it creates memes and digital, yes, I guess digital photos.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the problem is they're using the apps for sexting, for sending nude selfies, and then they have something called a sex buddy, which is being replaced with a kick buddy. Yeah, so here we go again with this, you know, you can place ads and whatnot through that. And it allows, again, sexual predators to interact with minors.
Mm-hmm. And
that's terrible, too.
There's so many, and I'm just going to kind of go through the list. There's Whisper, Ask FM, Yik Yak, is it Omegle? and yes. Down, the hookup app. So if your child is on this app at all, any of these apps, again, make sure that you, I mean, make sure your children know that you go through their phone, that you're going to go through all their stuff, because they're going to be less, what's the word? Yeah, they're going to, you know, be less apt to put this stuff on there and send stuff. My daughter, my son, he doesn't have a phone or anything like that right now, and doesn't have access to that type of those types of apps. But my daughter, who does, she knows when she brings her all of her devices in that we're going to, and we don't have a schedule. It's very random that we will check the devices. And there was a story of one man who did. He checked and told his daughter already knows that he checks it. But one day he was very suspicious because there was some dialogue that was deleted, and so it made him look more. And so her daughter had sent some nude pictures, and she actually befriended a boy who was really 15, but he was being a puppet for the predators in his Facebook group. So the 15-year-old was actually fishing for the people, the kids, and the kids thinking that they're really just really talking to him, but the predators in the background, the puppeteers, are telling them what to send, telling them what to do, telling them how to do it. And this girl almost was being groomed to meet the 15-year-old at a park, and which the predator was going to actually go there to kidnap her. So very scary, people. We got about 15 more minutes left, and I definitely want to make sure that we talk about the dark web, the dark net. A lot of people don't know that there is such a thing. Let's talk about that, Felicia.
Yeah, there's millions of, I don't know. Dark web is really getting more and more sinister. It's even hard for law enforcement to keep up with it because people know how to encrypt it. They know how to send information through there with different, different dialogue or code, so that people don't know what it is that they're looking for. So, but they have recently, they have made a lot of arrests through that. You know, they have software called Thorn, an organization from Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, who created this organization. So they have a lot of technical people that are creating software to try and track traffickers, predators. So there is a lot of information out there, but it's huge. I mean, these people know. Again, we were talking about the Philippines earlier. There's actually people that go on these dark webs that actually, go after the children and parents over there have their children on these dark webs, and these predators, they're doing sex acts and whatnot with the children. It's really horrible.
It really is. So basically what's happening is a predator will get in contact with someone in a third world country like the Philippines and countries in Africa, and they have contacted the parent or the caregiver to say, okay, I want a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 12-month-old, or whatever, and then they are told by the person on the other side of the screen what they want them to do to the child, so they can vicariously live through the offender on the other side of the screen while they are offending and abusing a child. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're understanding that when we talk about children, we're not talking about 14-year-olds or 16-year-olds only. We're talking about children who are 5 and 6 weeks old, 5 to 7 months old. We're talking from the moment that they are born, there is a predator out there seeking to have some type of sexual gratification by utilizing the bodies of our children. If that does not make you want to slap somebody, I just don't know. You know, we're talking about four-year-olds having to service full-grown men anywhere from 15 to 20 times a day. Their bodies are not even developed to be able to have sex yet, but they're having full-blown sex, every orifice in their body being penetrated by a penis. People, this is atrocious, and we have to stop it. There are going to be pedophiles in this world, okay? I don't know if there's a cure. They say there isn't. But we can, however, protect our children. I know that finances, you know, poverty has a whole lot to do with majority of what's going on, because it, you know, it's the those who are impoverished who are trying to sell their kids. There's also those who are drug addicted who are trying to sell their children. And then there's those who are just greedy and want the money. My God, our children, our next generation are being attacked so hard. It's hard enough growing up in this fallen world, but having to grow up with predators and exploiters, traffickers running amok. It's just unbelievable. Let's talk about some warning signs. We have about 9 minutes. Let's talk about some warning signs that children, so that we can see if those children are being exploited or abused, trafficked.
Yeah. All right. Some of the warning signs for physical indicators, sometimes there may be evidence of blood, rape, cuts, bruises. I'm not sure that you would see or smell semen, saliva, remnants of lubricant. I mean, I think a parent would have to be pretty much probably have to see, you know, be in the bathroom with a child in order to see something like that. But obviously, if the child had cuts or bruises that they didn't have before, I mean, that would be a sure sign that something is going on. But again, a parent would have to be really involved with the child. I mean, you know how children can walk around with long sleeves on or long pants on. Obviously, if it's, you know, 90 degrees and you see a child with that, that should be an obvious sign that something's going on. There's no way that you'd see a child with those clothes on when it's hot weather. Some other indicators, if a child has urinary tract infections, if you see that the child behavior has changed, you know, maybe they're hanging around with a whole different crowd of people. If you see the child maybe trying to sneak out all the time, or if they're with an aggressive crowd, or if you have probably an older person that's always, you know, hanging around with the child, that's an indicator that something's going on. Or if the older person is possessive of the child. Of the child, something definitely is going on there. If the child has preoccupation with his or her genital area, you know, that's a sure indication that something is going on. Any kind of itching or burning in an area, you know, that the person is being abused. If you see any signs of self-mutilation, anorexia, bulimia, if the child is trying to attempt suicide, you know, mood swings, depression, that's a sure sign that something is going on. If you want to look at behavioral indicators, that the child is always self-blaming themselves for something, or I guess they're not, you know, kind of staying to themselves or becoming more isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things that you can look for. What was that?
That was a good list of stuff. I think that's that the parents can look for.
Right, right. Evidence that a child has been a victim of sexting or sextortation. You know, maybe if they're having different partners. Again, if you see that they're more involved with their phone, or if they have suggestive types of clothing on, if the type of clothing that they've worn or wearing has changed, you know, that's a sure sign that something's been going on.
And so you want to look at
the way they're talking. They're talking, you know, their verbal language has changed. They've gotten more suggestive, or you know, vulgar language or something like that. That's, you know, a sure sign that something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're you know, showing signs of maybe being anxious, they're nervous, they're having trouble sleeping, any kind of psychological stress. That's an indication. I think that as your parents, you really have to be, yeah, you really have to be involved with your children to see these things. It's not, yeah, mm-hmm. A parent just has to be, you know, aware that these things are going on.
Now, parents, you know, as you're listening to this, something inside of you should be saying, well, why? Why all this, these outward signs of their behavior? Like cutting, self-mutilation, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's because people, they are trying to cope. They're little babies. These little babies are trying to cope with such trauma that, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to live their day-to-day life with what they are experiencing. Whether it's at home, whether the abuse is going on with one of the parents at home, or whether it's a caregiver, it is very stressful for the child. Much so that it will cause mental, emotional breakdown. And, you know, they're trying to hold it together as best they know how. But it is hard. As a survivor myself, I can tell you, what, you know, I had bedwetting at the age that I had already, you know, obviously I was, my initial abuse began when I was 5. The grooming, all that began, but by 8 is when I had the full-blown abuse, and I, at that time, I wet the bed. I don't know, you know, I still to this day can't figure out why bedwetting, how is that, you know, how does that correlate? But, you know, it's a lot that is going on with the child. Now, we have about 90 seconds, and Felicia, just wanted to, if you wanted to say anything to our audience on how to get in touch with you, because definitely they can get in touch with you through Irene, but if you wanted to give another area of contact?
Well, I guess my email or my Facebook.
Okay, Facebook is great.
Facebook page, Felicia R. Ingram. That's another way to connect. I'll use Facebook as a way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just say this one last thing, that generally many of these children, when they're going through these things, don't forget they're also being victimized, they're being threatened by a lot of their abusers as well. So it's very hard for them also to come forward, because they've been told if they say anything that they're, you know, they may harm other family members, they may harm them, you know, the victim themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep that in mind as well. So If you do approach your child, you know, just, you know, give them time to come to you, or, you know, you just got to keep with them. If you see that something's not right, just, you know, keep asking the questions, and, you know, don't let it go until you get the answer that you're looking for. But don't be afraid to approach your child. It's very important to keep that communication going.
I thank you so much for being on the show today, giving out some wonderful information. And we pray that this will get into the hands of those who need it. Now, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today and staying with us for the duration. And I pray that this was good information for you. And we will see you then next week. Repeat after me. I reclaim my life. I excel at living. I illuminate the dark. I grow in Christ and nurture myself and others. Let's reign together with Christ. We'll see you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you, Annie. Thanks.
Welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The hurt, the guilt, the stain. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a victim. I fight, I win. The chains are broken. Together.